This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, time for another edition of our favorite segment, Thursday Coast, with the founder of the largest online progressive community, DailyCoast.com, as well as the founder of Civics with a Q and the host of the ever-popular podcast, The Brief, Marcos Melitzes joins us. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good to see you, Mark. Hi. Yeah, great to see you.
It's good to see you as well, buddy. First of all, happy anniversary, 22 years. Of Daily Coast, right?
Mark, we got old. When did that happen? 22 years. Man, when I started, people were like, I was 30 years old, which is just crazy. 31 years old. And here I am, 50, almost 53. And we're chugging along. It's been a ride. And given that a lot of my peers from that era have moved on or have disappeared, I'm very grateful and privileged to still be around and being able to talk about these things and motivate people to do what they need to do to win elections. I'm very lucky in that regards.
Let's touch on that for a minute, because there are a number of websites and places in the blogosphere that are shutting down and have shut down since Daily Coast has been in existence. And I know you've talked to us before about some of the new challenges you're facing, and we appreciate you sharing that. But how has Daily Coast, do you think, been able to survive so long? And I wonder, I asked that question, but I offered an answer. I wonder if it's because when I look at a lot of other sites, Marcos, I think some of them tried to do too much. I wonder if you all just stayed in just enough of a lane you needed to stay in.
We definitely tried to do too much. And one of the things that we've been doing lately is retrenching and refocusing on a smaller number of issues and topics. But the answer to your question really is pretty easy. It's a community. Like, for whatever reason, Daily Coast became a central gathering spot for so many people, not just to read about things that they cared about, but also to participate. So the ability to write their own stories, the self-help portion of Daily Coast, so people can actually become their own bloggers on Daily Coast. And the community that was built around that really has created that critical mass that has kept Daily Coast chugging along. And we're not growing, but we're not shrinking. There is just a report on political sites that just recently came out, and conservative sites are losing traffic in droves. Like, they're like 60% down in the last couple of years. Liberal sites are also losing to a lesser extent. Daily Coast is even, which is actually surprises me, to be honest, because there is a definite decline in the web in general. The web is broken. I think we all know that, right? Google is broken. You try to Google something, it gives you just crap results. You have spam sites, you have content farms. The advertising and the pop-ups, and it's just an absolutely miserable experience. And this is what Facebook and Twitter back in the day and TikTok are doing. It's a much more pleasant viewing experience. Even they're getting miserable as well, right? But Google broke the web. And so for sites that are web-based, like Daily Coast, it becomes an extra challenge in addition to just motivating people to come to a Daily Coast when they would rather flip through TikTok. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, people should consume content the way they want to consume content. And life is hard enough. Let people get their joy and their information how they want to receive it. But it just means that for a web-based publication like Daily Coast and others and my peers, it actually is incredibly difficult. In addition to all the other challenges facing media today, the fact that the web itself is falling out of favor is a challenge.
Congratulations on 22 years and still making a difference, and obviously still a very trusted source for news and information in the progressive community. And folks, I'm not exaggerating just because Marcos is here. As far as we know, Daily Coast is the largest online progressive community. It really is that, because if you remember the Daily Coast community, you can post, you can share. And it's not like a whole lot of crazy people either. We're not talking about just some random Reddit thread. It's responsible. Journalism has changed, obviously. No longer is it exclusive to those educated in the field, but self-journalism is real and in full effect. And you get a lot of that on Daily Coast. And so congratulations on 22 years. And needed. It is needed. I can't say that enough. We have so few progressive outlets. There are others, and there are others that are smaller than Daily Coast in local communities. And I would even include within those contexts, you have Latina sites. And I would even include the print publications that are still publishing. Daily Coast doesn't publish a print publication, but you've got the Black newspapers still out, over 200 of them, Latino newspapers, AAPI, small progressive communities with local papers. And that's also a bulwark against the takeover of local news by Sinclair and some of these other agencies that have been taking things more and more right wing. So Daily Coast is important. And 22 years is a significant amount of time and a great milestone. So thank you and congratulations on those 22 years. I guess we've been talking more than half of those years together.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Believe it, Mark.
Yeah. So 22 years ago, what year was it? That was 2002.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we started talking not long after that.
It was before Obama, because I remember talking about the Mitt Romney-Obama election. I don't know if we were talking about John McCain, but it would have been at the latest, it would have been 2008.
Yeah, I would think so. The Daily Coast folks, and don't forget to check out the podcast, The Brief. Now, the jury is in deliberation. Somebody on television said that they think the jury might be out today or tomorrow. This really isn't very complicated from what I see in terms of what Trump's jury needs to look at. Wouldn't you agree? It's kind of, you got the checks, you got who they were made out to, you got the dates of the checks. It's pretty much, and I know as compelling as the testimony that we unfortunately couldn't see or hear, but just the transcripts and the narrative, it was dramatic testimony. But this is still, to me, a paper case, a paper prosecution, because they have the receipts, literally.
Yeah, they do. And the people have been trying to read the tea leaves, and the jury asked for additional clarifying information on Gregory Peck's, the National Enquirer guy, his testimony, which was some of the most damning testimony of the trial. So the prosecution has to be feeling pretty good that the jury is looking at Pecker. What's his name? Pecker? Looking at his testimony. But you never know, right? There could be one closeted MAGA person in that jury, and then you have a hung jury, right? Because remember, this has to be a unanimous. So if it's by the, like you say, the paper, if we're going to look at the receipts, seems pretty open and shut case. To me,
right.
The testimony was pretty incontrovertible between, I think it's Pecker, right?
I think so. I think you're
right. Yeah. Between him, the National Journal guy, who was Trump's big friend, and Michael Cohen, the testimony is pretty solid. It's interesting that Trump himself didn't take the stand, because he's always made this whole grandiose, oh, if you're innocent, why wouldn't you take the stand? Because there was no defense. There was no real defense. And so it really comes down to, is there one closeted MAGA guy in that jury who will refuse to convict and you have a hung jury? I really would be shocked if there was an acquittal.
Yeah, I was going to say, right, it is David Pecker. I just wanted to be, it's David.
David Pecker, right. Yeah. Right. And I would be shocked if there's an acquittal. I would be surprised if there's a conviction, Mark, just because it's hard. And it's Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has weaseled out of his way out of so much wrongdoing in his life that it would not surprise me if he did it again. But a hung jury, that seems, I could see a one person holding out kind of situation. So it'll be, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's, maybe later today we'll find out. But it's, there's a lot of suspense here.
Will it make a difference, though, do you think? And again, I want to stay in the context of what we always talk about, and that is we're at the margins, just percentage point here or there. So we know about the base and the hardliners. Mm-hmm. You've also, though, continued to remind us, and I quote you all the time when I'm talking to people, even his base has to be motivated. That's part of their problem.
Yeah.
If they're not motivated, they don't even vote. So just looking at all those different dynamics, you've got those who are on the fence, those in the hard base. Will they be motivated based upon a verdict or not? Will those on the margins be motivated? How will they be motivated? What are your thoughts? If he's guilty or innocent, it's a funny thing. You mentioned how his base needs a foil. Mm-hmm. If he's found not guilty, based upon what we've talked about in the past, I don't know that that motivates his base. It's like he needs to be in that martyr state or whatever
to get
ginned up. But what do you think?
Yeah, there was an NPR poll that was released this morning that found that the headline is most people don't care what the results are, right? Like it won't change anybody's mind. That was the headline. But if you look at the poll itself, 18% of respondents said they'd be less likely to vote for Trump. People who support Trump, 18% said they'd be less likely to support him if he was convicted. Now, 18% is a huge number when you're talking about margins of 1 to 2 points. Now, there is no scenario in which he loses 18% of his support over this decision. That's just ridiculous. Because the question is less likely, which is one of the worst questions in polling, right? Mark, are you more or less likely to vote for Trump if he is convicted? Okay, you could say more likely or less likely, but you're not going to vote for him, right? So the question really is, it's a dumb question, right? So in itself, 18% is a ridiculous number. 10% of those people, 1.8% people who are on the fence about Trump decide that, this guy's a criminal. That's all it takes. All right. And so we're going to be running a campaign right now where everything is about a half a point here, a half a point there. That's the kind of campaign that we're in right now. So I do believe it hurts him. I don't think it motivates people who weren't going to vote for him to vote for him. I don't think that's a thing. I think his support is capped. The challenge right now, just from a more broad perspective, Trump has never gotten more. He's never hit 47% of the vote. So he gets 46%, and third party candidates muck things up in key states. But overall, he's never hit 47% of the vote. He's not going to hit 47% of the vote this time either. The question is not whether he can get more people to turn out and vote. The question is, will people not vote for Joe Biden? That is the question. This idea that there are Trump supporters who were going to vote and suddenly, or we're not going to vote, now suddenly are going to vote because of this trial, because he's convicted. That's not a thing. I could definitely see some of those suburban college educated white voters that we've been talking about for a long time. They're the real swing vote in this election. I could see a lot of them on the fence saying like, this is the last straw. Just a tiny percentage, small numbers, right? But that's all it takes at this point. And we're going to see this election's going to hinge on tiny little swings amongst key demographics.
He's never hit that 46. So again, it boils down to us. And I said to someone the other day, they didn't agree with me. I said, everyone on our side who doesn't vote, who stays home, and people are talking about staying home, some, not a lot. People are concerned about Michigan. Rashida Tlaib, people asked her the other day, do you want Biden to lose? And she really wouldn't answer the question. Can't lose Michigan. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know how you're a Democratic. And I can give you my whole thing on it because I get it. I'm upset about Gaza. I wrote a song. But the reality is, do we want Gaza there and Gaza here? Because that's what's going to happen if Trump's reelected and if we don't vote.
Trump said that he'll deport every protester.
But the thinking is, and I get it, people want to be able to say that they held their politician or their nominee accountable.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But the reality is, it's a reality. We're in a two-party system. We don't have a multi-party democracy. And until we have one, it's just one or the other. Now, if people want to work to change that, November 9th, starting November 9th, 2024, I'm game. Then you can have a different conversation. Then you have other realistic choices. RFK is not a choice. But otherwise, you can't do anything with that.
Mark, letting Trump win would be like electing Bibi Netanyahu as president of the U.S.
Thank you.
Do you really want our version of Bibi here?
So if I say that, people will say back to me, Biden is Bibi. Biden's not anything. And again, I think the long-term issue is this. What is the U.S. government's historical foreign policy in that region? And what can be done to change it? And this election is about choosing, if you're about that issue, if that's your main issue, and I don't think that's the main issue for the majority of people, but if it's for 1%, that's a problem. Like you say, if it's just for that little teeny tiny bit. So I say to the 1%, okay, if that's our issue, and it's one of mine among many, the question then becomes, which opponent of the two might you have the best influence on changing it? In the playoffs, you want a lower seed. You don't want to, if you're a number two seed, you don't want to go up against a number one seed first, right? In this case, Biden is either an equal seed to our movement. Trump is an outright enemy. That's a heavy hill to climb. Now, I thought about you too, man. I'm jumping around. I'm gonna give you credit for something. You said to me a couple of times that you're not big on protests.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't always resonate with me because I come out of something.
Clearly.
I come out of civil rights movement.
Yes.
And protest changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I've been watching a lot of things lately around what's going on with Palestine, and even frankly what happened at Columbia, unfortunately, and thinking back on Occupy, I think you're looking, when you say that, I can see you saying that in the context of a lot of protests we see today.
Absolutely.
Dr. King.
Not the historical.
Right.
Not the civil rights movement or Gandhi in India. There are successful protest movements.
Right. But today, people are a little too content with protesting without it meeting and getting effective demands met.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Strategic. So a lot of folks don't mind, and I'm not knocking protest. I'll beat every protest, y'all. But at some point, we have stopped protesting for protesting's sake. I was at Occupy. Nothing. Columbia, nothing to show for it. In other words, in the civil rights movement, if we had 10 demands, maybe we protest, maybe we only get 5 of them. But we extend the life of the movement by saying, okay, we'll continue to negotiate on the remaining 5, but we reserve it right back and come back to hit it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the people who say that they don't see any difference between Biden and Trump are the ones that are going to just be out there happy to protest anyway, even if it's Trump.
So, yeah, Mark, there has to be a strategic point to the protest. There has to be purpose beyond I'm angry and I'm going to yell and I'm going to piss off people by shutting down the street. If you're going to be pissing people off, you better have a reason and a strategy behind it. And this is what's been lacking in a lot of the modern. And I would throw in the anti-Iraq war protest as well as ineffective because it was a expression of rage that just petered out. Now, the resistance when Trump was elected, that was a little better because at least it was channeled into organizations that worked electorally and like Indivisible. And so that might be a little more successful. But the current protest, for example, if you run out there and you say, Joe Biden is Bibi Netanyahu. He is a, what do they call him? Genocide Joe, right? Why should Joe Biden listen to them? Like it immediately shuts down any sort of desire by Biden's camp to engage that crowd. There's clearly a difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Donald Trump literally will be bombing those Palestinians along with the Israelis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden is trying to restrain Israel, and Israel's not listening because Israel doesn't want Joe Biden to win. Bibi wants Donald Trump to win. Donald Trump will give him a green light to do whatever he wants. in a way that Joe Biden has not. You cannot make enemies of your potential allies and then wonder why nobody's listening to you. Nobody's listening to you because you've literally called, you've thrown everybody in the same bucket. So what's the benefit of trying to negotiate and compromise with people that basically throw you into the same bucket or say you're worse than Donald Trump?
Yeah, yeah.
Or say they don't care because they're privileged enough that they'll be fine in a Donald Trump presidency, which isn't a lot of people.
And you're right. Biden, I still think he could be doing a little bit more.
Of course.
And some of the rhetoric from his spokesperson every day is a little insensitive, especially after what's happening in Rafah. But I thought about you because I was thinking about protesting. Like, what is it that I'm not getting? I said, oh, I see what he means. Because I've been involved in a lot of situations where there was just no interest in saying at the end of this protest, accomplish these things concretely. So that's
what else is missing there is I think the best protest movement, the civil rights is a perfect example where you have somebody like Martin Luther King, who is pretty radical in the context of his times and what he's demanding. But then you have Malcolm X, who is very radical. And suddenly people are like, oh, I'd rather talk to Martin Luther King. And so you need so it's OK to have maybe a radical, really. But then there has to be somebody that the reasonable voice that can bridge that divide and right now you don't have that. It seems like it's those voices, the voices that are most heard are the loudest, most obnoxious ones. And the ones that are easily demonized can be like, oh, okay, you're pro Hamas. Okay. Then I can easily tune you out because you're not worth listening to, as opposed to somebody who is creating that sense of, no, we have to have a solution. The status quo is untenable. But yeah, no, those guys are also whack. But and so you create a space for that compromise. And so you almost need that counterbalance. You need that Malcolm X and the Martin Luther King. And yeah, I've been seeing that. It definitely did not exist during the Occupy. They didn't even know what they were asking for. And it was just we hate the 1%. Okay. Me too. But what are we gonna do about it?
But that's getting too caught up in the visual. I'm noticing people are easily caught up in the visual. This looks good.
Yeah.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
We've even shut down Columbia University. And when I got called in, it was late, but I don't know that there was an attunement toward, let's see what we can get out of this. Whereas, and so as a result, kids got expelled, suspended, rather than some other things. But I got a little bit off track. But I did think about you and as I was looking at that.
I am practical above all else. Like, I want to win. That's it. And so any expression that is counterproductive to winning, whatever that winning is, and in the case of these protesters, winning is somehow getting Israel to end the war and get. But also you need Hamas to release the hostages. This shit is freaking complicated and there are multiple layers. And
right. And
yeah, so that's always my frustration with the protests.
But that's the thing. If there are still any hostages alive, because Netanyahu and them showed so little interest in hostages. When you bomb in a small place, you probably have killed some of the hostages yourself.
They've literally killed hostages.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But listen, I don't know if you remember this. Nancy, right after, remember when Chuck Schumer said that there needs to be regime change in Israel?
Yes.
Which was really, for him being a Jewish person, a Malcolm X-ish position to take at that time, all right? He says that. And then Nancy Pelosi did an interview on ABC and said not only did she agree with him, and she signed the letter about withholding weapons to Israel without conditions. And then she made an interesting, I'm going to go and find this. I don't know if you all remember this, but she said that Netanyahu, in reaction to him being upset, saying American politicians were trying to interfere in Israeli elections, Nancy Pelosi said this. She said he should know because he's tried to interfere in our elections.
Yep.
You remember her saying that? And so I'm like, people, that's what we need to understand. That's what's really at stake. And when did he do it? And on whose behalf did he do it for? So again, it may not even be as complicated as I tried to make it. It's always going to be the lesser two evils. But there's one evil that works hand in hand with Netanyahu and Putin.
Literally, yeah.
Straight up. Democratic politicians are always going to be in this position. If Marcos was the president, I'd have a hard time calling Marcos, say, hey, Marcos, just shut it all down. First of all, Netanyahu is not going to listen.
He hasn't.
From the practical point of view, and you can help me with this too, Mr. Military veteran, if Biden were to say today, okay, I'm not sending you any more weapons for the foreseeable future, indefinitely, it's not like he done already have enough of the ones we've already given him. It's not as if saying that would do to Israel what has been done to Ukraine. Am I right about that? Because they've got enough weapons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, Israel has one of the largest weapons industries in the world. They can self-sustain. As I understand it, and I could be wrong, but as I understand it, the weapons that are being sent are the defensive anti-rocket air defense missiles for Iron Dome. And in that case, not sending those in would just, more civilians would die. That's the spin. Now, I don't know if it's 100% true. They may be slipping in some tank rounds. I don't know. But that's the party line, is that what's being sent are air defense missiles, which are just, they're defensive. That's the case. I think that's defensible. It's easy to demonize, obviously, because it's sending weapons. It is a weapon, sending weapons to Israel. But that said, there's literally nothing the U.S. can do right now to get the whole world. The U.S. voted against Israel for the first time ever at the United Nations Security Council. But here's the thing, is a protest movement that was interested in an actual outcome would be celebrating that and would be touting that instead of screaming that it's not enough, right? You have to be, if the other side is taking steps in your direction and you spit in their face, they're going to back off. And right now, Biden administration is in a place where the protesters hate them. Trump, it's a no-win situation for them. And so they're not going to try too hard. It's already hard enough as is.
Yeah.
And because very clearly, it is in Biden's interest for the war to end. Absolutely. I think there's no scenario in which he's better off with the war continuing. Bibi wants Biden to lose. So he's going to keep this war going through the election because it's the best chance he has to get Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump is elected, the U.S. will help Bibi wipe out the Palestinians actively. He said so. I'm not making this up. He literally said so. That's the challenge. And this is what I think the protesters don't recognize, is that it is not in Biden's interest for this war to continue. He wants it to end. There is a great deal of diplomacy at stake. They're even working with the Saudis to offer normalizing relationships and if the war ends, and to create an anti-Iran alliance, which would be unprecedented. Israel allied with Egypt and Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states and Jordan against Iran.
Right.
Hamas is Iran. Everything about this says it is in Bibi's interest to end the fucking war, sign this normalization with Saudi Arabia, and then work in concert with regional allies to push back against Iranian influence, both with Hamas in Gaza and the West Bank, but also Hezbollah in Lebanon. This is what makes the most sense. And this is not even my brilliant thinking, right? In Haaretz, the left-leaning Israeli newspaper, they've been screaming about how Netanyahu has turned Israel into a pariah state and how strategically dumb it is to continue, because they've lost this war. Hamas is fine. Hamas hid in their tunnels and Israel didn't find them and they're still around. So it's time to retrench and build a regional alliance that can then offset Iran's influence in the region. This is not rocket science, but Bibi doesn't want Joe Biden to win. He wants Donald Trump to win. And to do so, the best way he can do to influence that election is to have the American left screaming at Joe Biden being a genocide Joe. And so then they can get the actual genocidal Trump into office, who will do so much more damage, not just to Gaza and the West Bank and the Palestinian cause, but to everything, literally everything. And Mark, one of the challenges I think that we're seeing, and it's reflected in the polling, is that young people didn't live through that first Trump presidency. It's actually, his existence is normal. They don't see him as an aberration. and they didn't live through, they lived obviously, but they were young, right? They didn't know what Trump did. Mm. And so for them, he's not this terrifying creature that we know that he is. Yeah, those are the challenges. And this is what's so frustrating to me about this whole freaking war, because Bibi has zero interest in ending the war. He wants Joe Biden to lose. And the best way he can influence that is by keeping this war going.
What did I say? October 7th reminded me of, remember? Mm-hmm. As soon as I didn't just see it as Hamas attacking Israel. I saw that, but not just that. As soon as it happened, I saw 1980.
Mm-hmm.
I told everybody, and everybody said, oh, you're insensitive. Okay. Now everybody's calling me and saying, dude, mm-hmm. you were right. It's okay to see two things at one time. Tragic. It was abominable.
Mm-hmm.
But there, and Marcos, we're not that much different, even though you've, in your argument today, you probably have distinguished yourself as the Malcolm X, as Martin Luther King, and me as the Malcolm X.
Not on purpose, Mark.
I love them both. I love them both equally, and can bear witness to, at the end of Malcolm's life, their willingness to come together, which hastened Malcolm's death, as a matter of fact. But I said that, and I just don't know, and you and I think a lot alike in this regard, too. We just think politically. We just have political bents in our minds. So I always look at what is the politics of this? What does this result in? What is the result? And as soon as it happened, I said, oh, boy. Anytime you want to harm an incumbent president, you create a conflict or war like this, unless you're W. That's one of the only people that didn't work for.
Because they attacked us directly. Yeah.
But anytime you want to have that problem, that's what you do. So what you're saying is profound.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, moving along, and this, well, it's not really moving along because it's in the same context and a segue. Political rights of peace, Democrats in full freakout mode, peace and political this morning. Not a good rollout of the Biden Black Voter Initiative yesterday because they didn't tell anybody in the Black press about it. We all found out. No, really. And that's a whole show on that. I have been eating and negotiating. No, that's a thing. And even the article that today mentions it, there is this lack of communication between the White House and the campaign and actual Black media and actual Black influencers and voters is a detachment. This, it was almost as if this was a regular campaign event at last minute, say, hey, let's make it about a Black voter initiative, and then undermine their own coverage by doing it on the same day the jury went to deliberation. So there was no news coverage of this Black voter.
Yeah.
So just now
they can restart it. They can reboot that. Nobody will know.
Yeah, no, they're gonna. Yeah, they would, and just let some of us know too. I'm in New York, but I'm in Philly. If it was out there in the Bay Area with Marcos, maybe I couldn't have come that morning, but I could have come to Philly. Me and Rolling.
Oh boy,
you know, we got Black newspapers in Philly, Black radio stations. No one.
Crazy. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold it. Just to add to this, and since you're gonna be a delegate and you're moving up in the ranks, Marcos. Could have been, should have been chair. All right. And if he had been chair, I would have nominated myself a vice chair. And we really could have done the Martin and Malcolm thing. But that would have been fun. That wouldn't have lasted. They would have got rid of us in 90 days.
You're absolutely right.
Matt, when do you take that? They look, wait a minute. Mark and Mark. Oh, no, we can't even have this. This is that they would have had an emergency vote like that night because we would have just taken over everything. But and it'd be a whole different situation. But they had black mayors, and the only black governor there is Wes Moore, got them to Philly at the last minute. And they didn't even speak.
Oh.
They didn't speak. Did you know that? They didn't speak. They would just acknowledge. Here with this black governor, this black mayor, this black governor, this black... Didn't even speak.
Wow.
So it was bizarre.
Yeah.
There should be some freaking out, especially when it comes to black men. The propaganda, I'm sure with the Russian help, is targeting black men. In fact, I'm trying to come up with ideas how to address that. Black men, and there's a segment of black men who feel that Donald Trump gave them a check. It's called a stimmy. That's what the stimulus is called, stimmy. He gave us a stimmy. Yeah. Biden gave us a check.
And he did, but he didn't put his name on it.
That's right. And truthfully, the stimmy was because Nancy Pelosi got it passed. If anything,
yeah, of course,
she should have put her name on the check. Mm-hmm. But so talk to us about what you think in terms of the freak out or the fear. The Biden campaign, they seem pretty, you know, loud. Like they're just calm, as if they know something we don't know, which is fine. Just let us in on it.
I think what they know is what I've been saying, is that the fundamentals of the campaign still benefit Joe Biden. So the freak out that we're seeing right now with a lot of people is that a lot of the battleground polling is showing Donald Trump slightly ahead. That's the freak out. I've said on his show and on my show, and I've written that really do not pay attention. Don't worry. You can look at the polling. It's interesting. Do not worry about the polling until after Labor Day. This is just... that's what people are tuned in fully. And the Democrats have a couple of things going for them. One is that the Republican convention is in July and the Democratic convention isn't until late August. People aren't even paying attention in July. So that Republican convention will be long forgotten and the Democrats are going to be able to get boosts. And there's always a 2 to 3 point boost at a convention. And what happened last time in 2000, it's Biden got his little bit of a boost, and then Trump got a little bit of a boost, and it evened out. This time, there's no Trump convention afterwards. So you got that. And then you got it when people are really starting to tune in and pay attention. Two is abortion. 18% of Americans think it's Biden's fault because they haven't tuned in. And it happened during the Biden presidency. So this is just a question of education. I know that the House Democrats, the DCCC, is spending $100 million on ads that are just 100% focused on abortion. This is going to be the issue of the cycle of abortion. Trump even just recently talked about taking aim at contraception. They're so out of the mainstream with the American people that there's going to be an education component. So you have that. Three is you have the fact that Donald Trump has outperformed polling in its primary. And Republicans have outperformed the polling the last two cycles. Democrats have been doing better on election day than the polling. So it's bizarre to me that people are obsessed with polls when we actually have election results that show Democrats dramatically overperforming Republicans consistently over the last 2 years. So you have that piece. Then you have the fact that my favorite poll is one that didn't ask who you're going to vote for. It said, who are you? Are you afraid of the other person winning? And Democrats are far more afraid of Trump winning than Republicans are of Biden winning. And fear is a big motivator. You know this. Because quite frankly, Mark, what happens if Joe Biden wins? Has the right of a single conservative been impacted since Biden was elected? No. They'll make up stuff about Dr. Seuss this and Miller Lite that. Because they don't actually have real things to worry about. We know what's at stake. If Trump wins, we lose rights. If Biden wins, I don't know, the economy does better, there's more jobs, everything's better in a Democratic administration. So we are more afraid than they are, which is a big piece in motivating people. And finally, there's probably more reasons, but the one that comes to mind finally, Trump is not acting like somebody who's winning right now. The decision to do a debate in June is the dumbest freaking decision Trump has ever made. Not only did he agree, because remember, the problem that Biden has is that people don't know that Trump is the reason we don't have abortion. That's probably his biggest challenge. If I'm Trump, I'm not even debating. Instead, the Biden campaign baited him because, oh, Trump, Biden, he drools on himself. He can't even talk, put two sentences together. He's not going to debate me. So then Biden challenges him to a debate with conditions, including no studio audience and the ability to cut off a mic. And Trump immediately, within minutes, agreed. He didn't talk to his campaign, to his advisors. You know, he just agreed because, again, like he believes his own bullshit spin that Biden is cognitively disabled. And so you have a situation. This is not a Trump, and Trump thinks he can win. Trump really literally thinks he can win the debate. If you think you're winning, you don't need a debate to win. You coast. He does not act like he's winning. And then you look at money. Trump hasn't had a campaign rally in Arizona, which is a must-win state the entire cycle because he can't afford it. All the money that they're raising is going to lawyer fees. There's no organization. Oh, this is a big one. The Trump campaign doesn't have a single field office opened yet. Biden has hundreds. And a field operation is worth 3 to 5%, 3 to 5 points. Now, if you have two good field operations, they cancel each other out. But if Biden has his field operation, 3 to 5 points, and Trump has zero, which is the case right now, huge disadvantage. So they should, Biden's people are, they're registering people to vote, they're educating voters, they're knocking on doors, they're doing the things that need to happen to win a close election. Trump is not. So there's so much that for Trump to win, it would require the kind of luck he had in 2016. Now, he had that luck in 2016. It is possible. You have to have a straight flush. But for him to pull it off twice, it'd be incredibly tough. And he doesn't seem to be doing the work that he needs to do. And he's stuck in courtrooms. And he'll continue to be stuck in courtrooms. So it is, I would rather be the Biden people. And I'm certainly not ready to freak out. I would rather be Joe Biden today than Donald Trump. Now, talk to me in late August, September. If the polls still show Donald Trump, not even narrowly ahead, because again, Donald Trump has underperformed his poll numbers the entire primary season. But if Trump's running away with it in August, September, then okay, then I can panic and we'll panic together, Mark. But right now, we're actually in a decent place. It's disappointing. We wish Americans would look at that con artist and be like, yeah, no thanks. So it sucks that it's competitive, but that's the state of our country today. And it's just, it's a reality we have to acknowledge. And you just have to kind of make sure to use that as motivation to work hard to make sure he doesn't win.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a shame. And not only with the abortion piece, Democrats, we are never good at touting our accomplishments anyway. I don't care who the president is, who.
Put your freaking name on the check.
Yeah, we're not good at that.
Like, but even those bridges? Like any bridge thing, the sign that says your tax dollars at work, right. Put Joe Biden's name up there and put your local, if your congressperson voted for it, put his or her name on there. Put Jeffrey's name on there. And if it's a Republican, put the Republican's name on there. Make them, give people a reason to vote for stuff and know who's responsible for the good stuff around them. They won't do that.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
just for example, a little inside baseball, it was a struggle to get people to promote and even post a social media flyer. Biden confirms 200 judge. And it was said, why don't you put in there too that half of them are women? And that over a fourth of them are black women. But all we get was 200 judges. And so when I say to people, we know over a fourth of them are black women, they're like, really? And in the reaction to a mature adult person has, Mark, why are you saying that? Why aren't they saying that? I said, I don't know. It's just a struggle. And like you say about that, but there's no way in where I would be losing sleep if I was president and 18% of the country believed I was responsible for Roe being overturned. Now, I would handle that today. That would be, trust me, Marcos, we had a press conference. That falsehood ends today. All right, I did everything in my power, whatever it took in that one day to reverse that. But they, I don't know.
No,
they,
and you're right. And you got the news hook because the story, the poll is out. So immediately call a press conference to, and you have a, you create a multi-day story about this poll and how wrong it is. Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right.
And we have a history. Because I've said to people, what do they say in media? And an unnamed White House official. I know a lot of them. Yeah. So I talk to a lot of unnameable White House officials who say, Mark, we're really bad at this. We're not good at getting our word. we don't do this well. We all need to get it together quickly.
Yep.
And literally the 200 judges, it was news to you when I just said it, right? That was a flyer. Yep. That hasn't even gone out broadly. Go on the White House social media, 200 judges confirmed. People don't even know that half of them are women. Women judges. So wait a minute, what is the, so let's tie the context together. Mm-hmm. Roe, the courts, 200 judges, half of them women. Da-duh. Y'all need to put that together. Anyway, again, this is more free political consultant advice that others get paid for. I learned a little secret too, man. And again, we're getting a little inside, y'all. The consultant class, many of them these days, come out of television. So consultancy is no longer about actually giving the free political advice we give, but being a consultant so you can help be a middle person to get TV and money, and that's part of your cut. Mm-hmm. That's really the that's who comprises a lot of TV people and people with TV relationships, or people recently out of the TV business or usually. So it's not even about, hey, let's do something intelligent to promote what we're trying to do. So anyway, that's why you guys, they need people like the Malcolm X and Martin Luther King of Thursday Coast on your team to help you do this. Man, we love you. As always, it's great. And hopefully the right people, you know what? They are listening. But like I said, it don't matter because I talk to them on the phone individually. We all know. Don't do that. Don't call any more black announcements and don't have.
This is basic table stakes kind of advice here. This is not any kind of chess here. We're talking of just basic setting up the board.
Yeah, just all I'm saying. Why is everybody calling us upset? Because you didn't tell anybody. You didn't tell anybody. You don't get mad because people are calling you upset. They're trying to help you. Don't take it personally. Fix it. Okay. Yes. Jersey Coast, the brief, the ever popular podcast, Civics with a Q. Thanks as always, buddy.
All right, thanks. Have a great one.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.